The opinions on this show are ours and ours alone.
All information is for entertainment purposes only.
This content is meant for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, John.
Who's behind me?
Hi, Adam.
Is there somebody behind
me?
It's Josh, the producer.
I can feel eyes boring into the back of my head.
He's really
not.
He's not even looking
at you.
I know.
He's looking at the porn on the screen.
I'm the greedest.
You're the greedest?
I'm the greedest ever.
Yeah, he collects all of my dude, right? That's all I'm saying.
Last name, few minutes.
Last name ever, first name greedest.
No regrets.
No regrets.
So things are a little bit different around here.
A little bit.
Yeah. We are.
John had his sex chains.
Yay!
New and improved studio.
Now I am a seductive lady.
Broadcasting.
What did we figure out yesterday? This is like the third time we've remodeled the studio.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say third time I had a sex change, and I was like, man, I can't make up my mind, can I?
Nothing comes close to how much went into the first one. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is the third, like, major redo.
Installing Spotify.
Sounds like didgeridoo.
So, although none of you guys can see it.
Yeah, take that, suckers.
Just know that we put up a ceiling, and it's nice in here now.
I'll have a post up on Comics Brew sometime this week, and I'll share it to your guys' stuff, and I'll link it to Waiting
share
for Players.
Share it to the world.
No, I'll link it to Waiting for Players and to Bad Flicks, too.
Not with the world. There.
It's true, we were.
No, just private.
Oh, it's a lot less shed-like in here now that we don't have exposed insulation everywhere.
I'd like to think it's been a lot less shed-like for about 2 years.
Oh, it has. It's come a long way.
It is far less rapey in here, though.
It was.
It's been.
I'm not sure if I like it.
It hasn't been rapey for a while now. Oh, it looks like the test worked.
Yeah.
Did it?
I don't know.
No.
I heard something.
That was totally Peter's phone.
I was like, I haven't even opened the internet yet. Like, what did my computer do? And I muted my computer, apparently.
Should we tell the rat story?
Which one?
Can we?
The one where I started.
John murdered innocent rats.
Running across the... Yeah.
It started with
with Josh screaming like a little girl. And
So there were rats in the insulation that we had to pull down, which is one of the main reasons why we decided to do the ceiling. And I volunteered to be the man to pull down the bad insulation. Found a rat nest in the first one I pulled down.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And we saw four rats. John killed two after I screamed like a little bitch.
Like the other two I had no opportunity at, but the rats with opportunity died.
Yeah, it's a great...
So one made the great escape and you hunted it down.
He knows how to get back. He was dragging his fucking ratty nutsack across the yard, leaving a scent trail.
Yeah, they do that. They do drag their nuts everywhere.
I was like, that motherfucker knew where he was going. He's like, I could get back.
Where he been?
He did hop like a kangaroo and he was kind of cute, but then he got smashed, so...
He was kind of cute, except you were looking at his nuts?
No. Nets have insanely large testicles. It's hard not to see them.
Things I didn't need to know. It wasn't in my fucking list.
You can't not tell a boy rat from a female rat.
I was
going to
say,
rat.
First
it's
off, I have
obvious.
No idea. I have no idea what gender the rat was. It just died. I was just saying that they dragged their genitals across the ground, leaving their little piss trails.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we could move on to what we did this
move,
week.
Move
besides
away from
killing
rats.
Yeah.
Well, there's one more thing about the rats. So
oh,
the,
my lord.
when we first started, the mom was the first one that left, and she went in around this corner here and into the back of the wall. We sealed it up with her inside. So yesterday, Adam and I released a bug bomb in here. And we came out to the garage where the hole was, and we could hear the rat tearing into the wood trying to get out.
So, that's basically, just to make everyone feel better, there's still a rat in the studio.
Sweet.
Yeah. But she's
slowly
gonna
dying in the wall.
She's going to die real quick.
She'll die eventually. And
or
then,
chew her way out, but I
haven't
seen
any
holes.
I hope she chews her way out, and then I can kill her.
Like, while we're
I hope
in
she
the,
chews
oh,
her way out so she
show.
Doesn't rot in the wall.
That's probably more likely.
Yeah.
It's going to stick
that's
for a while.
That's not good. All right, so on to better topics.
Well, that's what we did this week.
John Slade.
That is actually mostly rats. What I did this week. Yeah. I haven't really played much. A little bit of The Division, but...
Played a decent amount of The Division. Decent amount.
Uh-oh. Shh. John wants us all to be quiet for some reason.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, it's loading.
It sounds like dead air.
I am the greatest.
Ah.
All right, I am the greatest.
What did I miss?
Right, we ran out of time before the show, so we had to do some audio test here live.
Yeah,
on the
so we are the greatest, in case you were wondering.
And
now you know.
I'm the greatest.
And I'm the greatest. I couldn't find that soundbite, Josh, unfortunately.
I'm the greatest. You don't need it. I'll say it. I'm the greatest.
Yeah, but it didn't.
I am it, John. It doesn't, I am the soundbite.
It doesn't test the laptop.
It's live soundbite.
It doesn't test the laptop.
So news. Yes?
No.
We still got to know what John and Peter did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
All right. So I played The Division.
No.
Surprise.
And what level are you up to now?
I'm 25 on The Division.
Okay.
23. Yeah.
And then on Rocket League, I think I reached God mode at some point. No, I didn't. But I did play, and I did really well. I did really well.
On Rocket League?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just doing it for fun when there was nobody online. And then, like, my day off or the, you know, when nobody's around during the day. Instead of playing The Division by myself, I chose to play Rocket League with some pugs.
Division by yourself is a lot of fun.
It is. I've done it. I did it that day. I alternated. I'll do, like, an hour of Rocket League and be like, time to Division. Do a handful of missions, go smoke a cigarette, come back, be like, time to Rocket League. Just, you know, trying to be good about splitting up my time. But other than that, I didn't really game a lot. We had a little bit going on.
We did. A lot of my gaming time this weekend was spent lifting things.
Spent here in the studio doing some work.
Much needed work.
What about you, Peter? Didn't do anything. I just watched.
I know you were here doing a lot of work too, but
I played Dark Souls and beat Dark Souls 1 and started Dark Souls 2.
I would just like to say though, if the shed burns down, it's totally Peter's fault, right? Because he did the wiring.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess if it burns down from an electrical fire...
Here, you blame Chad.
Okay.
If it burns down over by Josh, you can blame me.
Okay.
Good to know.
So we'll have to wait for the
origin. Does that make you feel better, Josh?
It's really bright.
It's as safe as it can be being a professional electrician.
Josh is like, it's getting brighter. Is it supposed to get brighter?
I trust you more than I trust Chad, to be honest.
It's really bright.
Chad knew what he was doing.
Don't look up.
Like, I could tell.
Ah!
Fair enough.
My eyes.
Skype open.
At least putting wire places.
Who are you calling?
Should we call somebody? Can we just call?
We can do it from here. It's easier.
Well, that's actually from the Waiting for Players account. This is probably John's personal.
No, this is Badflix, apparently. I got to update that photo still. Thanks for the reminder, Adam.
You can probably do that
Now. New selfie of me. How's that?
All right, so you guys ready to get into the news then, or did you play any games this week, Josh?
No.
No.
Okay.
I did start playing Assassin's Creed Unity this week as well, because... I can now, so I'm going to because I paid for it.
Is that the newest one?
No. Or,
okay.
No, that's
the one that he shouldn't play.
The last two are the ones I shouldn't play, to be honest. But I paid for it, and it was before Steam. Put in 2 hours before Steam allowed returns. Yeah,
gotcha.
So I will beat it just out of principle.
Well, then
that's why I started playing Dark Souls again.
Can we nickname Adam the principal? I think that's a dope gamer tag, actually. I think I'm going to change mine. Kind of like that.
I get to be the class clown.
Somebody's got to be the dean.
Can you be Principal Skinner?
No, that's like labeling it too much. I just want to be the
principal.
No,
just have a picture.
No,
be the principal and then
have Skinner. Yeah. Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah. Principal Vagina. No relation.
And have that quote right there.
Yeah.
No relation.
No relation. All right, so what do you got in the news world there, Adam? I heard you
We do have a little bit of stuff. So tomorrow starts the pre-orders for the PlayStation VR launch bundle.
Hmm.
I don't think we talked about this last week because I think they announced the price like the day after last week's show or something. Mm-hmm. But so the PlayStation VR, just the core, the VR itself is going to be $399.99. And then they're going to have a launch bundle for $499.99 that comes with the VR headset and the cables you need, and then the PlayStation camera and the two Move motion controllers.
To be honest, if I was going to drop $400 on VR, I would just pony up the extra $100 and get the motion controllers and all of the
cables. You may as well.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, why not if you're already dropping that kind of money for something like this?
Right.
Well, maybe you're poor.
But I mean, like, why can't just the headset when you're going to need cables? The motion controls are going to make the games a lot more fun.
Like, I don't have the PlayStation camera because I don't really have any need for it. But I do have probably two or three Move controllers. So,
oh, do you?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I could buy then just the core, and I think you can usually pick up the cameras for about like $60 or so.
Are the Move controllers compatible? Are they from PS3? And are compatible?
Yeah, the controllers themselves are compatible, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because they're really just little batons with lights in the end of them and a few buttons on them, you know.
Accelerometer.
Yeah. But looks pretty cool. It seems to be the cheapest way to get into VR. Assuming that you already have a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, assuming.
But I'm sure that quite a few people do.
No, quite a few people obviously do. I just needed to make my console quip. So I'm done. That's all I wanted. Nice, easy one. A little finger jab to the ribs.
Not a whole lot of games that they've shown yet for it. Mm-mm. But there is supposed to be like a couple hundred different titles in development.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Yeah, this is something I'll get into down the road. Not first gen, not second gen. I'll wait till things are way cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Way cheaper, and there's actually more of a purpose to it. Mm-hmm. Not
there's
just,
more content that's already there, as opposed to waiting.
Versus just the like first-party stuff that Sony's mm-hmm. going to put out for it.
Exactly.
Which sometimes is still pretty fun.
True,
so.
But I mean, you'll still have that plus mm-hmm. everything else if you
right.
wait. So, and I'm not super excited for it, so I can wait.
Yeah. I was reading this one article. I don't remember who it was, but somebody was saying that they think that just because of, based on the how many PS4s are out there and stuff, that this VR headset will probably end up doing better than, like, at least the first generation of Oculus and Vive.
Probably. Just because they have a set platform for it.
Right.
So all of their hardcore, you know, fanboys will probably want one. I'm sure your kids will want one. At Christmas time, I'm sure you're going to be like, Daddy, VR.
Yeah, well, it depends because it is like buying a whole other console. So
it is. It is, but I mean, you get all the kids to agree, like, this is your only present, it's all you get. It's a little more doable, right? I don't know. As a kid,
do you think you would understand the repercussions of that decision when you were having some new toy like this waved in front of your face?
They would learn real quick.
If I was a kid, yeah, I would be down to get this. And not,
I would do. I mean, me like, and my yeah, brothers, sure. We all agreed on a Super Nintendo back in the day.
Yeah.
And then my dad bought us a decent amount of games when it first came out because all me and my three older brothers all wanted the same exact gift. And so he's just like, we're not
smart and unified.
Exactly.
Unified.
He's like, I'm not buying 3-4 Super Nintendos. We're like, we just need one in games. So, and it worked out with us. I mean, we all played. We had fun. We shared. We did what was needed.
And he only had to buy really for one person instead of four.
The only game I've ever been able to get that man to play was Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah?
That was it. That was the only thing. And my mom, she would play, but when she steers on Mario Kart, she tilts her whole body and leans with the controller like she's steering. She does the buttons well, but she would just lean. We're like, Mom, you don't have to lean. She's like, that's just how I do it. I'm like, all right, you're having more fun than anybody else around here. Yeah. Like, we're all sitting here with our hands in our laps, like, playing, and she's like, all right, anyway, sorry.
Maybe she needs a VR headset.
Dude, for real, though. She'd probably get into it.
No, I think the smart thing, unless you're the type of person that really likes to early adopt new technology, mm-hmm. it's probably best to wait anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Let second fix gen's all the bugs. Always better than first gen.
Usually.
I was
third
saying,
gen's
I
always better than second gen.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Then I
said, numbers.
After I said that, though, I was like, I wonder if there are examples of second gen that just, like, flopped. Is there,
well,
like, anybody
knows?
I don't know
about flop, but there's certain things like the first gen PS3 was a lot better than after they took out the PS2 hardware and the extra USB mm-hmm. ports and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
And eventually stripped out backwards compatibility altogether in it. So
douches.
By the third or fourth gen. So
that's what happens when you get consoles.
Although
though.
I paid like $600 for my my launch fucking PS3. It's still the best one that was ever released.
You think so?
Yeah. He's like, I know so. That's why I own it.
Fair enough.
Well, it's yellow lighted now, so it's in
danger zone.
In my entertainment center, just sit until one day maybe I'll fix it and put it out here.
What's anchor the yellow light of death for? On the is there like a
it could mean a lot of things. To be honest, as soon as I saw that it did that, I unplugged it. I put it away.
I didn't Nobody wanna, touch I didn't
it. Exactly.
Whatever's wrong, it's not getting worse.
Yeah. So I've just been using a PS3 Slim since then.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Well, now a PS4.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Moving What's up good? In the world, my friend.
All right. So, look, we got more Sony news.
Oh, yes.
This is
kind of impactful to the
right. Yeah. Last week we talked about the whole Microsoft opening up Xbox Live because of Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically just Sony kind of not really confirming anything or anything, just basically saying that it's up to the developers and publishers if they want to. We're not have something open up like that, then they'll deal with it on a case-by-case basis, you know.
Oh.
We're not going to actively push it, but we'll be right. All right with it.
They do also, in this article, go on to talk about how it's not anything really new for them, that they've had some games in the past that were
already doing that.
PS4 and PC or PS3 and PC and, you know, mm-hmm. PS2.
Yeah,
actually.
I was going to say Rocket
but
League right
to
now
console,
does it.
Though?
No,
that's
not
a big
console.
Thing.
Yeah, that is yeah. a big that's thing a big because... Thing. That's all up to the companies.
I doubt they do it any differently than the PC to the PS4.
Yeah,
right.
Because I mean, they probably don't want you to invite people from other networks.
Right.
So
they'd rather have you.
All my
and get
friends
one.
Are on Xbox. I'm gonna get an Xbox. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does make sense to not pull business from yourself. It's not a very solid marketing strategy. Like,
I don't know. I still feel like they could open it up a little bit more, where you could.
I wish I could play with
invite people to certain games. I mean, maybe not have, like, you don't need messaging systems and stuff like that.
Well, but the problem is that in the current iteration of Rocket League, you can't invite people from other networks.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So you want to open that up?
That I think that should be, yeah. I would think so.
Well, you would think that it would be that way with PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So
I want to play with Adam. That's where I'm at. But he's
speaking,
on,
if they're going to do that, then they'd have to update all the platforms.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. They'd have to update all of them because.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that there's the implementation of that, I wouldn't say infeasible, but really difficult. It's going to require a lot of effort on both sides
right.
of the aisle. Yeah, no, in order to do that. I think that they both of them have the resources to do it. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, it's going to be like a corporate type hangup anyway. So from a
probably,
business side, so
I mean they're going to need to handshake on something, and it'll probably be something that isn't as feature rich as we hope. It's like
right.
I hate to be cynical. It's just
well, also I want to be able to do is invite Adam to play with me while he plays on his lame ass console.
Console hater. I don't know.
Or you just get it for your computer, man, and play with us.
Well, it's not out on Linux. They've been talking about it for months.
That's
going to
be
like,
a Windows
machine,
right?
It will, yeah.
Yeah, so then you can sit out here and play Rocket League
could.
With us. There you go.
But I could be doing better things, like inside playing on my PS4 and my 4K TV.
I'm sorry, but I think your kids are playing inside, so you're going to have to play
I could just
here.
Walk in and be like, all right, it's Daddy's turn. But anyway,
I feel like you don't play enough that they do have to heed that, because it's not
it's
like you
true.
Do it every
yeah.
night. When you finally decide, they're just like, oh, shitty, all right.
Yeah.
No,
they jump on it
this?
As soon as, like, today I wasn't playing when they got off school, so they jumped on it right away. You know,
yeah.
Kurt did. London's sick. But.
Oh, so, man, when I'm sick, I'm all about the video games. I'm like, I'm so sick, I'm going to sit in my computer chair.
This should excite you, Adam.
What?
Not you,
bro.
Not you.
No.
It is possibly exciting.
It's because he doesn't
true.
Have headphones.
No, he said what? Red Dead Redemption 2, rumored for E3 and 2017 release. I'm pretty excited about that. I need to buy that game.
I really want it to come out for PC.
This article claims that the title is going to be Red Dead Redemption 2, Legends of the West.
Oh.
That's
do you think we'll see like Wyatt Earp analogs and Billy the Kid and you
know, I don't know.
Like cuz that's what Legends
Django
of
Unchained
like to me.
That could be cool.
Django would be there be you know Rockstar is not opposed to making the joke. So maybe they'll actually call him like Duh Django like
Duh Django.
Duh Django.
Will he have like chains that are broken?
That would be amazing.
I really hope this happens, though. Like, I don't think either of you two have played.
I have not. No, I have not. I want to. I'm tired of hearing about this wild, wild west.
Well, you know, there's going to be a PS3 out here and a TV.
Oh. This is true, John. It'll also I can finally play The Last of Us.
It'll play on the 360.
You've had every fucking opportunity. Like, let me think. Let me calculate this. You've had, like, 2.5 years... Yeah. Of opportunity to beat that game, dog. I don't think because there's going to be a TV in the studio that's going to change anything.
I have a bet. I have a bet to make. My brother picked it up on PS4 for $20 this week.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
good for him.
The remastered edition.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's all
that's
HD
got all
shit,
the all
yeah.
the DLC and mm-hmm. everything with it. So
I bet he beats it before you do.
He owns it.
You
better
live
get on that.
20 feet from it.
It's far.
It's so far.
It's a far town.
No, that's a good deal, though. I was thinking about picking it up, but I still haven't started The Witcher. Like, I have too many games I need to play.
I know. I wanted
I
to play
more.
Any. I want to play The Witchers because I bought those when they were on sale, 1, 2, and 3.
So I have Witcher 2, and I'm not even.
I haven't played Witcher at all. And
I
then
started it.
You know, I gave my copy of Last of Us to Ortiz. He's never played it.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris Ortiz.
He's also played Dark Souls if you played The Witcher.
But anyway, hopefully this June for E3, we'll get an announcement for Red Dead 2. And this article says that it will be released in the fall of 2017. But these are all just rumors. So
I mean, what's going to be at E3? Every major studio is pretty much pulled out.
Right, because they want to do their own show, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
E3 is not anything the same like it used to be. So
E3 was canceled for 2 years.
What else do we got on here?
Sadness.
Telltale Games, Batman.
Yeah,
I can't wait for this. I don't know. This article didn't seem to really give us a ton of information, minus just it's going to be pretty rad.
A picture of a Batman script.
Script.
A script of a Batman.
They're like, this is going to be a big step for us, and that's really all I got from it.
I imagine it'll be good just based on the fact that I think most of the other Telltale games are good, although I've never played one.
Well, Batman specifically, I think, fits the Telltale narrative style. Like, I mean, they have all the tools to make that a great game, especially if they make it dark.
It's essentially a noir character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell it that way.
Yeah. That would be a great Batman game.
It would be.
Ooh, they should do like a
Spider-Man noir. And then you have the same, like, four, like, dialogue options.
I was thinking comic. I was thinking comic version Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is he narrating?
Yeah. I've never played a Telltale game.
Neither have
but
I, apparently they're banging. Like,
your,
a lot of people really like them.
Yeah, my son loved the Walking Dead one.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
So, I'm excited for it. I'm definitely going to play it and pick it up. I'm just still not a whole lot of information out about it, so just kind of patiently waiting for more details. I want to see some screenshots.
I'd like to see something before I make a judgment. Or hear something, anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's be accurate on this. Hearing something doesn't mean that it'll be good. The Batman car, example one.
Oh, goddamn.
So I'm just saying, if
you mean
we were
the
to take
lie?
That example...
Did we ever follow up on how you guys were disappointed on that? I don't remember.
It just didn't sound the way that they advertised
it.
I mean, it looks great.
I don't remember if we
it
ever followed up on the
pretty
show
cool,
about that.
But not as cool.
If we didn't... The Batmobile in Rocket League, they made it sound like it was going to sound like the Batmobile from The Dark Knight, like the Tumbler with the sweet engine noises. And that's how they did it in the trailer. And then I bought it, and I jumped into training like Free Play because I wanted to hear it. And I started driving, and I was like, maybe I got to like drift to make it make that noise. And I like tried all the shit, and I was like, that doesn't make the noise.
That's what the boost sounds like when you hit the boost, though.
No.
No.
Like,
no.
No, it's just a high-pitched
noise. Is it just like a generic car sound? Or
and
what's
it also
the...
doesn't make the sound when it does the power slide.
Yeah.
Do the others, like special cars, make...
Bring up the sound.
Because there's what? There's Back to the Future, the DeLorean, right?
Does that is accurate.
Okay,
that is perfectly accurate. And it leaves fire trails and your hood lights up. And you get lightning. I thought it was going to be
electricity.
The same. I mean, it doesn't definitely looks good. I mean, it's probably accurate to the movie.
You're just disappointed with how this sound. Sound wasn't like it was in the trailer. So. Yeah,
definitely not. No. And that was what enticed, I feel, a lot of people that watched it, probably. I don't have any like empirical evidence to back that up, but I mean, I have anecdotal evidence.
Yeah, I still, I mean, I agree. It is a little bit of a bummer that it doesn't sound as it was advertised, but I'm still super excited about it. I still think it's awesome. Great.
There was just one letdown, man.
Yeah.
You finding that?
Are you pulling us up an audio clip
here,
John?
Yeah, we're trying to find an audio clip.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find one of them driving real quick. Let me find
Try and cue up the other movie, too, with the actual preview. We can play them side one and then the other.
Okay.
We can talk about The Witcher 3 while he's pulling that
up. Yeah, we could.
Yeah. Oh, you got it?
Just pull both of them.
Okay. I can do that.
A little bit of confusion going on here.
Not really.
You said The Witcher 3, and I'm like, oh, shit! Yes! What?
Witcher 3's next GDC award.
Yeah, just our last news story is basically more about how great The Witcher 3 is.
It's the greatest.
It is a really good game.
It has currently won 251 awards.
Yeah, and it beats The Last of Us by 2.
Yeah, 249.
Yeah.
So it's 251 Game of the Year awards.
Yep.
Jeez.
And with GDC being last week, that's where they announced it as the last one. So I think, doesn't that feel like it's the best game ever?
Most awarded game.
Yeah.
Empirically, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I have to beat The Witcher 3 before I can really...
It's such a satisfying ending.
So is The Last of Us, though. You know? But I've beaten that. That's what I'm saying. I can't really make a correct judgment about the game until I've beaten it.
Yeah.
Man, I have like a real first world problem. Which of these two of my favorite games
is better?
Well, if you think about that... John's got the audio ready for
us. Oh, do you, John?
Yep.
Good.
So here is the trailer.
Okay, this is what it's supposed to sound like.
This is what they made you think it was going to sound like.
That. Not it. Nope.
Nope.
That is pretty badass.
That's
badass.
So badass. This is the real thing now.
Stop talking, you douchebags.
Look at it. I wonder if it's almost like too low at the front. It looks
this
very,
fucking
very flat.
Guy.
It's too low at the front, mate. It's too low at the front.
I was trying to find just the sound.
Do you have Rocket League installed on your laptop?
No.
Oh, that's what you were asking. You were going to have him play it?
Well, no. Well, I mean,
that would be another option. Yeah. That's what I
see.
Assumed you would do.
Well, Josh, while you tell us about it, I'm going to try to find just the.
Tell you about what? Tell you about what, mate? What am I telling you about?
I'm trying to find something that's just the actual sound. Oh,
I can tell you more rat stories.
Oh, do it. Would you? Could you, mate?
I think Scott would write out the door.
Oh, we got something.
No. Microsoft is wanting me to activate something, and I'm not in the mood to look at it right now.
It's probably Windows 10.
Yeah, it's like, activate now, give us access, do it. It's hard to find just somebody driving the Batmobile. Nobody wants to just drive it.
I'm running out of things to say.
Yeah.
I've got less and less.
Oh, well. It sounds like
just
shit.
Download Rocket League while we're talking. Yeah,
why aren't you playing Rocket League?
Yeah, why are you playing Rocket League during the podcast?
Yeah.
It's actually a great idea. Play Rocket League quietly while you listen to us.
I don't think John can't do games quiet.
Oh, shit! And that's just me playing free play. That's when nobody else is in the fucking room.
You're like my kids. I'm constantly screaming at them to be quiet on the mic.
And they scream back.
They'll just continue.
You're like, hey, shut up. They're like, you shut up. I'm sorry, Dad.
Oh, no, that doesn't happen.
Well, you're dumb playing.
Yeah. What'd you just say to me, boy? Do you get a... Shut the fuck up, mate.
So Mike in the chat wants to throw out that I've been slacking on The Division.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got kids and podcasts to run. You can't
don't
do
give
it.
The
I
man
haven't
excuses.
Played any of it. So.
Yeah. Don't give the man excuses.
Holy shit, he's telling you not to be like The Patch. That's funny. I think it's funny that Mike listens to The Patch. Is it just because of Meg?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who the fuck is Meg?
One of the hosts of The Patch.
She's shut up, Meg.
She's pretty hot.
She's right, fucking hot. She's actually dating Slow Mo Guy's Gavin.
Oh.
And Mike hates
nice.
That. Mike hates what? Everything?
Yeah. Gavin.
Oh, sorry. Anything. Are we talking about the same Mike? Because the Mike I'm talking about hates everything.
So many names.
Talking
drops.
About no show, Mike.
Yeah. That man I have not seen make a positive comment ever.
Suck It League sucks.
I know, I thought he'd be excited about the whole basketball mode thing, but he's not.
Now, do you know why?
Hmm.
Because he's a bitter Betty. I don't know. That's all I got.
A what?
A bitter Benny. I don't know.
A negative milk. A negative Nancy.
Okay. Mike says Lennon was playing on the PS4 around noon today.
Ah, tattletale.
Yeah, right. He also says, I hope they will get a better main person for Red Dead 2 because the first game, the person you play as, the dumbest motherfucker ever.
Yeah, Mike is the only person I know that hated Red Dead Redemption.
I love John Marston.
Yeah.
I think he's the bomb. He's the greatest. And Mike says Gavin's a douche. There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Rounding out that
Yeah, so I think we'll move on. I think we got another game. You did play another game this week. Didn't
I did
you?
Play another game.
John's
I
was playing.
That was a secret.
John's playing Rocket
League.
John's really
yeah, turn the game
it
volume
real
up.
Quick or what?
Yeah. I need to turn
it's a
the...
small install.
Well, while John figures all of that out, I will talk to you guys.
Oh, John figured it out.
About
okay, here we go.
Oh.
Before he started, sorry. Go ahead and hit that boost.
He scored a goal.
What's the boost on the keyboard?
Right or left click.
Okay. Makes a cool sound when you start. Oh, that's a jump.
That's it.
The new power slide.
Like at the beginning, it kind of sounded like it was trying to do.
Yeah, it didn't have. It doesn't have that tumbling
yeah.
sound.
Nah, I don't know what break is. Yeah, but it just doesn't sound good, man. It's a bummer.
It sounds
so,
fine.
So you did, how much does the car cost?
$2.
Oh. Okay, no. Really? So I still like it. It looks mean as fuck, okay? It looks dope, but...
So buy it,
it
anyway
just,
and decide
yeah.
if you like the sound or not.
It's, I don't it's, like the fact that it has two guns on the front, though.
Why?
Batman has guns.
Batman doesn't use guns.
Except in The Dark Knight Returns, which he's looking
like rockets and shit?
True.
And the rubber bullets, bro.
Yeah, rubber bullets.
I was going to say, he doesn't shoot people with guns and... He's sleeping.
He's
oh, look, he's all tuckered out.
This is a gun?
Batman, you don't kill people. I didn't kill him. He's just...
All right, anyways.
I might have dropped something. It's
he's
not
all
a big deal.
Tuckered
out. He's all tuckered out.
So, I'm going to talk to you guys about Unending Galaxy.
Oh, fuck.
This game had way, way, way too much going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way too much going on. It felt like, to me at least, that it was trying to be the Civilization series, but not turn-based. And, like, it just top-down, universe is big as fuck, but yet you can, like, start political things with, like... with certain planets and sectors and things like that, which was, I mean, that's fine. And if it was on a slightly smaller scale, I could actually end up enjoying that. But this was so big. Like, the map is just giant. I was like, how do I know if I'll ever be back here to, like, continue trade with these people or to continue political relations with them? So I wasn't a huge fan of that. The the menus and everything like that are just... way too much information on one page. It's just like an entire wall of different shit to pay attention to. That's just they could have slimmed it down a little bit better. They could have made it a little bit easier on the eyes and not so overwhelming. The interaction with things is kind of not confusing, just overly complicated. Like, you open up a dialogue with somebody and then they'll just be like, yes. And as far as you know, it, like, unless you really fuck around with the menu, that's all that they do. But there's actually an entire another window that you can open up. It's just not advertised at all.
So it's hard to like.
It's really hard to navigate the menu system, which I wasn't a fan of at all. But before I go any farther into the things that I don't like, it is a top-down space exploration game where you can become a trader between planets and sectors. You can become a pirate and just thieve your way.
Space pirates, yes.
I was gonna say, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. This game is a lot like, actually, the other top-down space exploration game that I talked about.
I don't remember the name.
Neither do I. It was like 2 months ago. I could probably pull it up on Steam and find out. But, yeah, so it's top-down. You jump into a sector. There are different things that interact in the sector, from, like, power plants to trading posts to shipyards to just a kind of a general hub. I forget exactly what they call it. You can pick up jobs and stuff and go do jobs for different people or different regions, different groups. It's just a top-down kind of endless space explorer. There are win conditions to where if you control 75% of the funds in the galaxy or you're aligned with like 60% of the factions in the galaxy.
75% of all the money in the entire galaxy
is a win condition. Yes,
I would say so. I'm just thinking, you
know, the entire universe is in poverty, but I'm richer
than God. You just be a space pirate.
Why
god?
Are you still even a pirate at that point? I feel like once you got like 1% of the universe.
Oh, shit. My nap is over from yesterday. Sorry, everybody.
Time to wake up.
Wake up, Adam.
I'm going to turn the rest Adam of those off real quick because that was not the only one. There we go.
So, you feel rested?
Yeah, I do. It was a great nap. yeah, I don't know. Like, it just... It wants to be a game that I don't think that it's built to be, like, if that makes any kind of sense. Like... It really felt too overloaded. Like, it was bogging itself down, in my opinion.
So, like, it like bit off more than it can chew kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah,
or?
Absolutely. Okay. It tried to do a lot more than it could deliver.
Now, is
on.
This fully developed and out?
Mm-hmm.
Are they still supporting it?
That I don't know.
They have new versions on their website.
Okay, and it's on release. Anarchist okay. Gaming is the developer and the publisher. It was released February 19th.
Anarchist?
Anarchist. A-N-A-R-K-I-S.
Anarchist?
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the name. I do.
Another thing that I didn't really like is, like, so your left click is to select something. Your right click is to attack something. They don't tell you that when you first start, so I right-clicked on something because, I don't know, I'm used to right-clicking on things in games like this to bring up options and not attack. And so I just attacked a random ship on accident. I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad. And they're like, oh, well, we can't stand for that shit. And I just mowed down instantly. Like, there was no...
did it have some kind of, like, tutorial or something to...
It did. I didn't play it.
So you may have known how to navigate through the menus if...
I mean, this is true. Okay. I just, like... I feel like even if I would have played it, like, the menus are just dry. Like, it takes up the entire screen, and it's just, like, different blocks of text everywhere.
Gotcha.
Not really laid out in any sort of... what I feel like would be a streamlined way or anything like that.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying to cram way too much into a game. They're trying to make a game like this way too detailed, when if they toned it down by like 30-40%,
I
think it'd be a lot better.
I don't know if you'd say way too detailed. Wouldn't it just be easier if they had a better navigation system for the menu?
Yeah. I mean, that would help a lot. So you're right. Maybe it's not too detailed. Maybe it's just if it felt easier
to... The layout doesn't feel very functional.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. And that's my biggest gripe with the game.
Was it fun?
I mean, it was a little fun. I enjoyed it for 15, 20 minutes. I played it for a little while, but it didn't feel like time put in to enjoyment was really worth it. Like, that ratio of fun to time wasn't worth it for me. I mean, if you're into this kind of thing, check it out. I've played better games of this. The game I talked about previously, I liked more than I liked this one. I just don't remember the name of it. Thank you.
Must have been a great game.
Thank you. That one I did actually go back and play a little bit more after the show of that night. This game I won't continue to play. I mean, I'm sure it's up some people's alley,
Sims
just not up
the
mine.
Solar Empire?
Maybe?
It's totally not that. But, let's see. I'm going to go back and look at your thing here. Nope.
So, like, changes to it, do you think if they fix the UI and stuff?
If they fix the UI, it would be a lot better. I feel like the whole politics thing in this was kind of weird, because it felt like the world was way too big for that to really go anywhere.
You have to try to control 75% of all the money in the entire galaxy. I think you're going to have
that's
some friends.
That's one of them, though, right?
Yeah, that's one of the... Windows. Yeah, there are
but
multiple
But I'm just saying,
conditions.
Like, you'd have to have powerful allies and people in your pocket.
Or just be super badass.
Just pirate it up.
Yeah.
Best pirate ever.
Yeah.
That would be one hell of a fucking pirate.
As an alternative to this game that's like Civilizations and in space, and is turn-based as opposed to this, Endless Space. It's a pretty cool game. You should check it out.
Yeah, I think this game would be a lot more fun if they tried to do something more turn-based than this, as opposed to, because, like, as you're trying to navigate the menus, you're also just continually floating through space, so... If you float too far away from the object you're trying to interact with, the menu will just drop out, and you're just like, well, that was fucking dumb, and then you have to go back, yeah. And just a lot of little things that really made it feel... Well, I did make it feel it was not fun for me, so...
Not the greatest.
Not the greatest. Definitely not close to the greatest. So that is my review of Unending Galaxy.
All right.
Meh. And I mean, it's got a user review of 67% on Steam. They also felt pretty meh about it. So
gotcha.
Yeah, like I said, there are better versions.
What was the name of the developer again?
Anarchist.
Anarchist, thank you.
Like anarchist.
Yeah. Put just with no T.
And a K instead.
Well, thank you for supplying that review copy to us.
Yes, yes, thank you very much. Sorry, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that do like
it. There's the guilt.
I'm just not one of them.
Quickest turnaround. The quickest. But that's the thing.
The game has merits, I think, from looking at it. I haven't played it. I think that it would be interesting. But I agree with John, however, that if they had simplified the UI, maybe had more windows that were more specialized instead of having more information
per window.
On one window.
I agree with that.
That's just UX design. And a good book for that.
Anarchist, write this down.
The Design of Everyday Things. Mm-hmm. Or Common Sense in UI. Either one of those are really good books to read about making things.
Is this game early access?
No, this is the full version of the game.
Then you'd expect maybe a little bit more user testing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like alpha, beta testing and stuff.
But and maybe they had it. Maybe
they have 55 reviews. They probably don't have a really large beta pool, and I imagine that their studio is rather small. However, they are updating the game. It looks like the last patch, 1.2.0.8, was released on March 15th.
That was, like a week ago. Less than a week ago.
Continued support is good, and I'm sure a small studio like that listens to feedback. So maybe this honest review of is actually something they might take.
That's what I was trying to point out, to be clear, that it was like the UI and
oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, so. It was definitely the UI. Like, I felt like that really made it. It just felt not, like I said, I can't really find the word for it, but it just really slowed the game down.
All right. Were you still going to talk a bit more about The Division?
I mean, I can.
I think we definitely Mike's all talked for about that, it a lot. So.
I'm down to join in on that conversation.
I have beaten all of the main story missions. The only one I have left now are my dailies every day. I have been going through and grinding out all of the smaller little side missions, which has been nice because those actually level with you to some degree. So if you're still in a really easy zone, those are still like two or three levels underneath you. If you're in a harder one, they're... You know, they're more difficult. But the gear actually also and your loot goes up with that as well. So, like, I did one in the easy zone, and I got some new knee pads that were better than the ones I was wearing, even though that was one of the first side missions that ever showed up on my map. I just never did it.
Yeah, I went back, and I played one of the missions I had already beaten in hard mode by myself.
One of the main missions?
Yeah, one of the early main missions. Probably the second one I think I did in the game. And I put it on hard. And oh shit. I was playing on hard all by my lonesome, and every single person was a purple and very close to my level. And I was just like, every single person is a purple with shield. I'm like, this is crazy.
And actually how it is in the dark zone as well. I've been doing a ton of dark zone playing. I'm level 16 in the dark zone. Yeah, level 16 in the dark zone.
Does it have its own separate leveling system?
It does have its own separate leveling system, but you still go into your main... your PvE levels instance. Gotcha. And that's actually a range. I was under the understanding that it was going to be per level. So, like, if you all 23s were in one instance, all 24s were in
that's
another.
That's not how it was in the beta, though. What? In the beta, five to seven, and then all the 8s were in their own.
In their own? Yeah. Yeah, this one, is. It looks like it's in range of 4. Like, the group I'm in is 20 to 24.
I'm sure that the final level is all one.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Which is 30. The 30 is the level cap for both the PvE and in the Dark Zone.
No, Dark Zone's 60.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Nice.
Oh.
Yep.
I was unaware.
You got ways to go,
I guess I do. But to be honest, the Dark Zone feels almost like a completely different game.
Like I've heard that before, yeah.
It's a lot more nerve-wracking. Every fight that you get into, it's not like you have any... I mean, you can have a strategic position on that fight, but you can always be flanked insanely easy. Like, most fights take place in an intersection. Someone can just stumble into your fight. Many, many times I've actually walked into the back of somebody else. Like, somebody that's in the Dark Zone has all of this instance's enemies aggroed to them, so I just stumbled up behind everybody, and I was just like, oh, I'm just going to start... gaining all these free XP because they're not paying attention. And the silencer on my gun has pretty decent threat reduction, so they don't look at me right away. Like, I can usually get a full clip into people before they're like, hey, what's going on? So that's been a lot of fun. My first experience when coming across other players in the Dark Zone was just like in DayZ, shoot people instantly and try and steal their stuff.
Yeah.
It actually seems to not be that way. I'm about 50-50 when I come across somebody there, just will instantly kill you. I've actually worked with people, and you can now heal in the Dark Zone. So you can just, like, random person, oh, you're down. I'm going to help you up. And, like, I was able to hold an extraction point with two other people. We didn't use voice chat or anything. Everybody's just like, I got shit I'm trying to get out, and I don't want to be fucked with. And yeah. So, I mean, that was really nice. It's not like, I said, not like in DayZ where you just... Anybody you see, you fucking kill.
Well, right. They were smart about the way they set it up. So you're marked as rogue.
Yeah.
As soon as you do it. And then everybody gets to hunt rogues for bonus Dark Zone currency and experience.
And so they get to hunt an actual player without a penalty. And your Dark Zone keys
and any gear you had on your person that had not been extracted yet. So it's a pretty hefty decision to decide to kill somebody and be marked on the map for everybody else to see. Where they're like, oh, free kill, no repercussions, right. And possible loot.
They actually changed that, though, so now you still lose a key, your XP that you lose and your currency that you lose has been reduced, and you only drop half of the gear that you've picked up.
Okay.
So it's not everything. It's only...
Okay, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't mind... I was going to say, I didn't mind losing all the gear. I thought that made it... And even the heftier penalties, because it made the decision a weighty one.
Yeah.
Like, you really had to be sure that you were okay with what was going to happen next. I did the daily mission with our buddy Koya the other day. Once you beat all the main missions, there's a daily mission that pops up.
Okay.
We did that. You had to fight this helicopter, which is a pain in the booty hole, to bring him down. Once you bring him down, so, like, I've only gotten one purple other than in this mission. And it was an equipment mod.
Okay, yeah.
One of my guns is purple.
And, well, I've bought them.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't gotten them. And I might just not be lucky.
I haven't either.
But
I think
then at the end of the daily mission, the helicopter exploded and dropped three purples, like a couple blues and a green. And then also gave us a yellow blueprint, which is the highest level of rarity, which was for a gun. And I'm trying to think of the name. But it was for a handgun. But I couldn't even craft it because I have no yellows. And I was looking into if I had enough tools to upgrade to yellow. And I was looking at what I would have to do that. And I was like, holy crap, I need more. So that toolbox outside of the main post office and all of those little things.
Yeah, always
grab
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't hit the toolbox all the time. But, like, I have a lot of tools. But at the same time, like, you need a lot if you need to convert them to higher level stuff. Because most of the time it's 5-1.
No shit. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is kind of crucial to make sure you're collecting all of those things as soon as possible, like as much as you can. Because once you need stuff later, and I was looking at things, I'm like, holy crap, I need so much more. So I have a lot of money right now, close to 100,000. I don't know if that's a lot.
It's a lot more than I have. So.
I mean, I'm sure there's people out there with like millions of dollars of in-game currency. And they're probably like, 100,000, you noob. but I think I'm going to start breaking down a lot more of the gear I get and dismantling it for parts.
That's what I've been doing a lot of now. I'm sitting at like 50 or 60K and I just break everything down. Because that's enough to buy. If I come across something I really want, I know I have enough to buy.
Well, I went for more money than that because I'm only two levels higher than you. I'm to the point where like almost everything is 40K.
Yeah.
So if you see two things you like at the Advanced Weapon Trader... That's all you can buy with 80 grand, you know? So,
right.
So it is, you know, it's one of those things. But I'm digging the game. I think it's extremely fun.
One thing I will say about extracting stuff from the Dark Zone is when you activate it, usually most Dark Zones, there is some sort of encounter close by, and every bad guy from that encounter will come over. Like, they just fucking come flooding out of the woodworks. So holding an extraction point by yourself is a lot of hard work, especially after you fought for all of that gear. You're usually running pretty low on ammunition, and in which case you're just like, wow, I've got like 100 rounds in my assault rifle, like 15 sniper rifle rounds left and a couple of grenades. And that's a long minute and a half when that's all the resources you have to use. So yeah, definitely try and hit up a safe house that's inside where you can restock and not have to leave the Dark Zone with stuff in your pack. And get ready for a firefight because those are tough. And like you were saying how when you reran something on hard, everybody was a purple or higher.
Yeah.
It's how everybody in the Dark Zone is. There isn't a single person that's not a purple.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's way more intense than the PvE side, that's for sure. So yeah, if you're not playing the Division, you are screwing up.
Screppin'.
Screppin' up?
Just screppin'. Screppin'. Screwing up.
Screwing up.
Screppin'. New word. Webster, do you hear that? Screppin'. What are you looking at?
Josh watching Daredevil back in the corner.
No. No.
There's no such thing as screppin'. You can just throw that one right out.
Let me see what's on your monitor.
Daredevil. There's fucking 20 minutes left.
Dude, I'm going to hell because of the original Daredevil movie.
Why?
Because the lady... No, I did actually at the time. Because
you wanted to be blind afterwards?
I did too. No, I liked it too.
I liked it at the time. I'm not going to lie about it. But the lady ripping the tickets when we went to the theater... No, she was in a wheelchair and she was obviously mentally handicapped.
Was it Auburn?
She at the Super Bowl, yeah. And she went to tear them, but she stacked all of me and my friends' tickets together, and then she couldn't tear them, so she was rocking back and forth and pulling on the tickets and going, Daredevil, Theater 9 on your left, Daredevil, Theater 9 on your left, and she couldn't do it, and she just wouldn't stop. And I tried for a very... I did good for a while, but then I had to turn my back so I could start laughing because I was like, she just won't quit.
John is 2 seconds.
I think I made it a solid 10 seconds before I had to turn my back. But she just kept rocking and saying it, and finally a supervisor walked over and just ripped the tickets and handed them to us. But I didn't want to, take them out of her hand.
Yeah.
You know, and so... But I was just like, what do we do? She can't rip them.
It's like a skipping record that's stuck.
And yeah. No, but then afterwards, I was the only one who ended up laughing. And, I didn't laugh loud. And she definitely, I turned my back. She may or may not have noticed. I tried to hide behind my friends.
I guarantee you, she doesn't remember.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I just felt bad. And then everybody's like, wow, John, you're going to hell. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Was I the only one there? Daredevil. Daredevil. See, you're laughing. It's hard not to laugh.
Exactly.
That story doesn't make you look like the greatest.
Because it's not.
As I say,
I am.
I'm probably a bad human being.
So why don't you guys get into the third segment?
Because I think we got a gadget first.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about jumping the gun.
It's because he doesn't have his headphones. He can't hear what's going on.
Yeah. I might as well be talking to myself.
Nice ears, though.
So anyway, the gadget I found to talk about today is called the Olo.
All right.
Olo.
Final segment it is.
Olo. It is the first...
Sorry. I just had a Xena Warrior Princess kind of pop into my head there.
Yo, Adam. Olo me. Bro.
Olo?
What?
Olo 3D.
Olo and
that's
boy.
The company that...
Only live once.
This is... the tagline of this says that it's the first ever smartphone 3D printer.
Is that true?
I don't know if that's actually true. That's why I said it's the tagline that says
what they
it, but
say. But
do you think they're going to get funded?
It's the first ever one I've seen like this, and I don't remember what that the kind of printing technology is called. But it's similar to a video we had talked about a long time ago,
where it's pulled out of the goo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Carbon
3D. Okay.
Or Form Labs.
This is basically the same kind of thing. It's like a little box that you pretty much set on top of your phone. And it uses the light from your phone screen to harden the resins that
Crazy.
You pour in there. So you would in the video it talks about all these different ways that the app can different programs you can use to create 3D models and stuff. So or you can use the app itself. But you make these 3D models and then you place the bottom half of this little box thing on top of it. You pour the resin in and then you close the top of it. And it says it just takes minutes, so.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. It's fairly compact. You're pretty much limited to the size of your screen.
Right.
So depending on the size of the phone you have, this here says that it's you can print 5x2x3. So 5 inches long, 2 inches wide, 3 inches tall, basically.
Right. I mean, that's bigger. Yeah, it's about the size of a cell phone, but 3 inches thick. That's still decent size. You could do some stuff with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's lots of examples on here that it shows them printing things. You could even to make like small useful things like connectors or like
miniatures.
Miniatures and like battery cover plates.
Oh, yep.
You know. But it's pretty cool because I hadn't seen, like, when I saw this, I remembered that TED Talk that we had talked about.
Oh, yeah. That chick just made a stamp.
Because, like, the example they use at the beginning is the same little, like...
the hexagon ball thing?
Yeah, exactly.
I know, yeah, I mean, this is really cool.
This is super fucking
they're
80,
cool. Well, the early bird, which is all gone, was only $80, and I would have paid 80 bucks for this.
Yeah, and there's different, like, you can do hard and you can do flexible.
Really cool. The one lady made a roller with a design, like, my mom as a scrapbooker would dig that. And then, because, you know, you can roll the, like, ink and then roll the design. Another lady made a custom stamp, like, you know, and put it on a stamp pad and then used it with a flexible one. Like, that's super, super flippin' nifty.
I think it's pretty cool, and it's like $100, I believe.
Yeah,
not too bad for a 3D printer.
I'm so tempted to buy that.
You should. We could just print up a bunch of shit here
for $100. They had a twin pack if you were really trying to get on this early.
Was it? It's not available anymore.
No, right? God, no, it's all gone.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, you got two of them. You got two extra bottles of resin. Yeah, I mean, that would have been the way to go if it was still available.
Yeah, definitely, but. Either way, still $100 isn't that bad for a 3D printer.
No, you only get one bottle for $100, though. You do get one bottle of resin, which is nice. You get the white, but it looks like a 6-pack of all the different stuff they have is what, like 120?
Yeah, that's where they get you is in the
resins. Resources. Yeah,
like the
in the materials.
Printer, yeah, that's a one-time cost, but they keep you coming back for the resin.
Estimated delivery September of 2016.
Right, but did you order it or what?
No, I'm looking.
That's such
a long time to be patient.
With this. The four of you all get an Olo. What's the first thing you print?
Wieners. Wieners and cock rings.
You can put your cock ring on the wiener I print.
like a bottle opener. See if
that would
a
be
a bottle opener.
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I like
or you know,
goes functional with
like
it.
Something useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about you?
Butt plug.
It
could be
that
useful
is not
for
well,
people.
You can only do 5 inches long. Remember so.
Well, how
several
wide?
Several beads.
I was
one
like, how many? Two inches wide. Okay.
I'm trying to think of
it
like
flexes.
All right, we're done. I'm sorry.
No, we're not. Yeah, you did that.
Depending on how hard the resin was. I know I'm not going wieners here.
Well, 3D printing
a replacement lockpick, like pick sets, would be really handy.
As long as it's rigid enough.
Yeah.
It would have to be really hard, though, I would say.
I mean, not. You'd
wouldn't
be surprised.
Or flexible.
One of those things that if it would bend before it would break,
yeah.
It would just straight snap off. But if you got pieces of plastic in a lock, there's a good chance it won't work. So
Yeah,
I mean, it would really depend. I mean, lockpicks have to be extremely thin, too, so it would really depend on the resin.
I would 3D print the parts to make a tiny little crossbow, like an office crossbow that I could attach a rubber band to and then shoot coworkers when they're not looking.
They have one on Thingiverse.
The bullets you've printed out.
They have one on Thingiverse that shoots pencils.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I hope they're not sharpened.
I hope they are.
Yeah,
how else are you
going to
kill the vampires in your work, bro?
I don't really have anything particular I'd print out. Just I think it'd be useful for like when you lose little pieces of plastic and shit on covers to things, and you know.
Honestly, I would be way more interested in getting into tabletop gaming on a regular basis if I could print miniatures
like
this.
Yeah,
like because I've always wanted to play games like not to the scale of Warhammer, but more of like the you're controlling only 5 or 6 units as opposed to like 40 plus.
So shout out to Comics Group Plays. You guys could print out little miniatures of yourselves.
Yeah, we
could
have.
Yeah, you know, we're changing games next month too, so we'd have to make mutants.
Yeah.
So oh,
just
there
keep
you go.
Making
to like Western.
Western shoot 'em uppers.
Whatever Nene's shaman thing was.
Yeah. this could be a shit. If I would have known about this when I first got my tax return, I probably would have bought one. To be honest,
don't gonna lie to kids.
I really might have.
I got the money. That's not the problem.
John's really contemplating it over there.
I'm just sitting here looking at
$200, 7 bottles of ink, and a printer, John.
I was just going to do the 89 and get the white.
That. Yeah.
And just get the white.
At least to play around with it. You can always get more resins later or something.
That's true.
Or like $118. It said 89 2 seconds ago.
Or like if one of us wants to print something out, we could buy some resins for
Where
it.
Where is this coming from? United States plus $29.
We could all pitch up on a pack of resins for the studio so we could just have something to play with.
Yeah, that would just have all this little shit printed
everywhere.
They've got a whopping...
You could print shot glasses or tiny beer mugs.
I don't know where they're shipping from, but I don't think it costs $30 to ship a little box anywhere from anywhere in the country, you shiesty flops.
You'd be surprised. From here to Canada, if you just want it there next week, it's like $40.
Yeah, I don't know where they're shipping from either, because it says U.S. and Europe on there.
Well, I just, like, select this reward, and then it's like, pledge amount, $118, because you're going to pay $30 in shipping.
I get stuff from China, for God's sake. On the Kickstarter, their location is San Francisco, so.
So it definitely shouldn't be $30.
Wow.
Maybe next day air.
I'll wait for Amazon Prime to get it.
Well, this thing only weighs a pound. I guess it depends on how much the resins weigh. But
like 90
100 grams. The resin bottles are 100 grams.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got on it. It's a cool little.
It's a sweet.
It's a cool little gadget. If John actually does buy one, we'll maybe make some videos of it. Actually,
or you could pony up and donate to John's. Get him a 3D printer for his smartphone fund.
Yeah, there's a little donate button right on our website here.
Or there's that handy Amazon link. You buy stuff through Amazon all the time. Why don't you just go through there you go. First and you can start pitching into the John's going to get a 3D printer.
Yeah. Print. Click on that Amazon banner, buy a PS4, and we'll get enough money
or
to...
Or just give me all your hard-earned money.
On that note...
some people don't earn money that necessarily hard.
Yeah, sometimes it's not that hard. Right? But
like, there's secret shoppers
like
kind of
medium hard earned money.
Sometimes you just got to show up.
Gave her that mediocre dick.
Just kind of...
You can just be like Trump and spout random bullshit. You get paid millions.
You see these hands? You see these hands? These are not small hands. I got no problems below the belt. I thought that was so funny. And then they started the whole Trump shows your penis campaign. After he's talking
about stop talking about Trump's penis.
Yeah, we're not.
You talked about it to give him any notoriety.
I was trying to move my way into the final segment here, but
now that I was feel like I need to say Bernie Sanders' name out loud because I keep saying Donald Trump.
Feel the burn, Peter. Feel the burn.
I don't think he's going to win now.
I don't either.
He's going to win Washington. I feel like it's going to go down to Hillary and Trump. Hillary's going to win because people are going to vote to not have Trump.
Yep.
And
I
then,
can see that, yeah.
That's 100% what's going to happen.
I really don't like her. I hate Trump more, but I hate that every election that I have to go into, minus Obama, I had to go like, oh, lesser of two evils. Like, what kind of bullshit is that?
Always. You voted for Bush over Kerry?
Huh? No. I don't think Kerry was great. I don't think Kerry was great. I think Bernie is by far the best candidate besides Barack Obama. But, I mean, that's just me. Y'all can disagree.
Hey,
Ralph Nader?
Shall we move away from politics?
Yeah, we should.
Counter-Strike Global Offensive new tips by John and Peter.
Am I Peter?
I'm Peter.
Oh.
I am Peter.
You're Peter.
That makes you John.
I am a stick.
We didn't label these for Josh to make funny things.
Quick, Josh, label them.
You just give us names right now. Go. On the spot.
Give me a sec.
Feeling the burn, guys?
No, okay. John, why don't you go ahead and go first?
All right.
So I like this first tip.
It is an amazing first tip, and it's a very hard one to train yourself not to do. So don't reload after every person you kill. This isn't Call of Duty, because Call of Duty sucks, or some other shooter you may be accustomed to. Reloading takes time that could be used to fire more rounds towards your enemy. So it is... absolutely crucial that because in this game you can kill people with only a couple of bullets, and when you still have 25 bullets left in your clip, you can reload as some because once you kill somebody, they're going to make a call when they come into somebody.
Yeah,
you know
they're going to let people.
Somebody's going to scream lower tons, and then the other team knows where you're at. They come around the corner to help support the person. Maybe you killed them already, but now you're reloading your gun, and you can't fire and you get gunned down. Like it is absolutely
even
crucial.
Five rounds. Yeah. Is better than reloading sometimes.
Sometimes. Exactly. You have to know your situation. Like, you have to know that, like, if you've got teammates around you that can cover you while you reload, then you're fine. But if you're off by yourself and you just killed somebody, it's general rule of thumb.
There's gonna be more people coming.
Exactly.
So.
You show up on the map, they get to see that on their mini map. They see your dot, like they know where you are.
Yeah.
And if they catch you reloading, and the worst part is sometimes delayed, like you look around for a couple seconds, you're like, I'm good, and you reload, and right as you reload, some dude pops out and is like, get!
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck me.
Now, I can't remember in Counter-Strike, if you reload, do you lose the ammunition that was in the rest of the
game? No, it's not realistic like that.
Okay. Because that's how it was in, what game did we play that was like that?
Battlefield?
Maybe?
Well, that's
I don't know what you're talking about. But I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what game you're talking about.
It doesn't matter. Not unimportant. Yeah. Not what we're talking about.
There's several games that when you, if you reload, the excess bullets in the clip are disposed.
Right.
You don't get the use of them.
Which is more realistic, but at the same time, I don't mind this aspect.
Was DayZ like that?
No.
No.
But because DayZ is the most realistic, because if you had a clip with two rounds in it, you wouldn't just fucking throw it away.
Exactly. Like, you keep the clip with two rounds.
That's the other thing. Like, I mean, it's a moot point, but the game Counter-Strike specifically, if you are even an okay player, it's better in some situations when you have four or five bullets and you know that someone's there to keep the four or five bullets, because you shouldn't need more than five bullets with most weapons to kill someone unless it's a fucking pistol.
But even then, five headshots, you're going to kill anybody. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But that's a really good player if you can land five consecutive headshots. That's
true.
Little...
And, yeah, but... No, it's definitely true that just reloading is dangerous.
I thought that seemed like a good tip because it did... I'm in that habit, and most of the shooters, it's a hard one to break after I kill someone.
Exactly,
usually,
and
know,
it's a hard habit to break, and you don't even think about it. But after you die by it a few hundred times, you start to get the hang of it. Like, don't do this. I would like to make a shout-out real quick to John Lorenis, who started playing Counter-Strike after listening to our podcast. I am going to go on there and play with him one of these days.
Did you see you got called out in the chat room?
No. Is it Mike?
Mm-hmm. He called you an asshole.
Mike, first off, you need to smile more, homie. All right? Don't project your negativity onto me. Like, just be happy, bro. I'm gonna play a song for him, actually. Here. Go ahead and do the next tip, Peter.
Don't even do that, John.
Peter, are you seeing the titles I'm putting in?
Yes, I am. Oh, okay, cool. This is Pootie Tang. We're gonna be talking about priorities and targets. When you're entering a room full of multiple enemies, be sure to prioritize targets. Target the enemies that are focused on you, or are going to focus on you. Prediction is a big part of this game, so if you walk into a room and there are three people, two of which are not looking at you, don't choose to fight the unaware people first. Shoot the guy that's shooting at you, and then you will probably have time to train on their head before they have time to train on yours. And that's just a really big thing that I see a lot of players do. They'll enter the bomb site, and they'll choose the most unlikely target and then get killed, and then they'll be frustrated about it, and when all they really needed to do, in actuality, is prioritize the target that was already looking at them.
Yeah.
And I've been very guilty of
that. I was
going
to say, and one of the biggest mistakes is, like, people will pick the closest enemy to them. But if that enemy's not even looking at you and they're focused on another teammate, and then one of their teammates is shooting at you, then he's the priority. Mm-hmm. But because the other one's closer, people think, I'm going to kill this guy first.
Yep.
And then I'll magically have time to turn and kill the guy who's already spraying bullets at me, and it just doesn't work like that.
No, and like Peter said, is you do get frustrated because you feel like, because you did get the drop on somebody, but you got killed before you could take advantage of it, when in reality all you had to do was prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, all of these are going to feel like really easy things to say, but they take a tremendous amount of practice to ingrain.
Thought.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
To ingrain in yourself and have that quick decision making.
Being in competitive, but Counter-Strike in particular, is all about self-observation. If you're not watching the way that you play consistently, then you're never going to get better.
Yeah.
The moment that you stop trying to get better is your ceiling.
That's your plateau.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Jadango here. And so,
come on, that's funny.
I like it.
The
I
Django,
like
the
Jadango. So basically you need to get a feel for what guns you excel at using, and then you need to use those guns a lot in the beginning. And then you need to pay attention to what guns are good in certain situations, so that you know when you come into those situations in gameplay what gun makes more sense to have on you. And then you got to make sure, purchasing-wise and strategically-wise, like...
That it makes sense for that round.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not just the physical
place. So if the other team has all sniper rifles, then you're probably not going to buy an SMG and try to bum rush people that can see you from a long ways off and kill you with 1 to 2 bullets. You know, it's just not realistic.
You're probably not going to buy a sniper rifle when you're camping a hallway.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like in close range. Hallway. Unless you're a boss. Unless you're Kenny S. In which case, you can do whatever the fuck
ain't
you
nobody,
want.
Nobody is good as he is.
That kid can do whatever the fuck he wants. No, but getting, like, everybody has guns that they're the best with. And ignore when people tell you you're using a noob rifle, or if somebody's telling you, like, oh, you're using the Black Ops gun, or, you know, like, Call of Duty gun.
Yeah.
Must be a Call of Duty player. They love to say that when you use the AUG or the SG, because it has the red dot scope. But I'm sorry, I'm probably my best guns right there.
I make this shit work.
I love it. That's my favorite gun in the game.
I quick dot people's domes. Like, I don't always zoom in, but I zoom in most of the time. But with how quick I right-left click to do the shots.
And how quickly the transition animation is.
Exactly. It's extremely fast. Mm-hmm. And then it's extremely accurate when you do that. And it's not a bad gun. It's super powerful. The SG is a one-shot head kill from pretty much anywhere on the fucking map. Like, no. It is not a bad gun. People will harass you for using it. And there are, like, for instance, if you're using the SG, the alternate is the AK, which is, you know, theoretically, technically, I guess, a better weapon, more reliable, better spray pattern. Although they messed with a lot of that stuff, so it's a little trickier now. But basically, just use the guns you're comfortable with. Pay attention to what guns people are using in certain situations, and then make sure you're making the right decisions when you go to purchase.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, I just want to make sure that we don't drive the nail too far down, because it's really an equilibrium. If you find yourself using, we'll give you the Lenny story. Our friend Lenny, who's pretty good at Counter-Strike, he's pretty good. He has his weaknesses just like everybody else, but he was exceptionally good with SMGs, better than most of us. His flaw was that he would purchase the SMG too often and would use it almost exclusively. When in some situations where he would falter, like, you know, clutching around, it's much better for him to have a rifle than an SMG, and he would always choose the SMG even to his detriment.
I was going to say, he could have a rifle and pick up an SMG because he's more comfortable with it. So you do have to get comfortable with all the guns. You really do. You can definitely have favorites. And in the early gameplay, I would say use them and learn one, and then move on to another one after you feel you've mastered it.
Mm-hmm. Or at least pick up, like, get at least semi-proficient.
A good thing is arms races, where it makes you use every gun for 2 kills. You have to use a bunch of guns. And if you keep doing that, you're forced to become familiar with all the weapons in the game.
Or at least become familiar with one weapon per style, like one of the sniper rifles, one of the assault
rifles.
That's
a good idea.
Yep, you know? That's solid.
Definitely.
As long as you have a, because they all have benefits and drawbacks.
Exactly.
Every single weapon has its strength, and every weapon has its weaknesses.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Keep up on patches too. We'll say just as an end note, they change guns all the time, like John mentioned earlier, and you don't want to use a gun like don't use the Tech 9 after they nerfed it if it's genuinely not going to do what it was doing before.
Yeah.
Like, you need to find an alternative.
What's funny is they nerfed the Tech 9, and I still liked it more than a lot of the pistols after the nerf. But they unnerfed most of the pistols after that, because everybody was like, what the shit happened to pistols?
Yeah.
Well, and they were like, all right, maybe a little too much pistol nerf.
They just changed the mechanics so much that it was just...
It was too much at one time.
Yeah,
exactly. Everybody was just like, the whole game changed!
Yeah, exactly. This is Pleasantville Praetorian here.
Praetorian. The Roman Guardsman, come on.
So... This is, all of these, like John said earlier, are very generalized. And the only reason that we're trying to nail them home, something that's so basic, is that fundamentals are really important. And one of the fundamentals of Counter-Strike is grenades. You should be using grenades all the time. You should be having grenades pretty much every round that you can afford them. Even save rounds, it's good to have a flashbang, because in save rounds, you want to try and get an advantage and steal a gun, if possible, as should be one of your priorities. So, and that's why I want to kind of specifically focus in on flashbangs. Flashbangs are are crowd control. Throwing a flashbang against someone that is watching a corner, the corner that you're specifically, like, standing at, will give you an edge. And depending on how directly they were looking at the source when it flashed, you will get somewhere between 0 and 2 seconds of time.
Yeah.
So you're probably not always going to get 2 seconds, especially in higher level play. Most people are prepared for it. They're going to see it. They're going to look away. But the fact that they have to look away is still going to give you an advantage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, flashbangs are probably the most crucial thing, followed, like, there. I would say that smokes are a really, really close second.
They are because of bomb site control and stuff. They're just so handy.
And they have the most,
so they have to go another direction.
Trick throws as well. Flashes and smokes have a lot of great throws to get the smoke in a position that doesn't compromise you, whereas decoys, frag grenades, and incendiary grenades have a lot less nuance. They're not as important. You don't have to be accurate with them, not necessarily. Frag grenades more so than incendiaries and decoys. But
my favorite frag clutch round I ever had was, it was me and this guy, and it was a pistol round, and I ran out of pistol ammo, and the next gun, he was down in Mirage, he was in the stairwell coming from T-side, and I was up on Palace scaffolding.
I see.
And I ran out of bullets, and so I switched to my grenade, my frag grenade, and I ran and I jumped off, and I knew he was in the stairs, and I threw my grenade while I was flying through the air and bounced it off the wall into the stairwell, and as I picked up the enemy's Tech 9 that I was going for, it blew up and killed him, and I was just like, ha 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 ha!
Shit.
I was just like oh, that. What a boss.
And we call that a Kobe.
Kobe!
Kobe!
Everybody pretty much in Counter-Strike will yell that if you kill somebody with a frag grenade, especially if they're dead and watching you.
It's rare. And that's why everybody likes to jump on it when it happens.
Exactly. Everybody's like, oh, Kobe! No, grenades are just so crucial. You need to watch videos for maps on where to throw grenades for perfect placement. Because once you get into a higher level of competitive play, like when you're starting off and you're in the buying section before the round starts, people are going to be like, I'll smoke this, I'll smoke that. And you have to know smokes so that you can smoke other areas. And if you only know a couple of smokes, don't be afraid to say, like, I only know how to smoke stairs. Can you smoke something else? And then they'll be like, fine, I'll smoke snipers or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know. And then you can take care of it. But communication is just insane.
People will also teach you things. There's a lot of assholes on Counter-Strike, but not everybody is like that, especially if you're nice to them.
I was going to say, I get a absolute ton of nice people.
I'd say it's 60-40. Nice people,
I would even go
people.
70-30.
I don't know, man. But
that's pretty generous for the online community.
I get along with a lot of people. People don't tend to... I ignore. And for me, that helps a lot. Because they usually make a comment or two, and then they just... I'm not fun, because I don't argue back. And so they don't want to continue with me, because what's the flapping point? Like how I didn't
John's
swear
an
there.
Opportunist. He doesn't like to run his mouth unless he's actually going to hurt you.
John, personally, I've known you've not been fun for 9 years.
All right, so Jingoist here.
Okay, real quick, do you know what a Jingoist is?
No clue. I'm guessing he's like a linguist, but for Jingos.
No.
Oh.
A Jingoist is a patriot, but he takes the form of aggressive foreign policy, which means threat of force or actual force.
So Donald Trump here.
Yeah.
Stop saying his goddamn name.
Say it 3 times. He's going to appear.
No, I just don't think. No notoriety.
Right. Anyways, I fucking hate that guy.
Hey, Michael Keaton. Right.
So buying or saving during a giving round is key to increasing your odds of successfully winning. And you may not be successfully winning that particular round, which is why you're saving. So pistol round is absolutely crucial. Basically, the team that takes the first pistol round, on average, is going to take the first 3 rounds.
Yeah. Okay.
But since it's first to 16 rounds, there's plenty of time to come back from that. So the key is to be patient. Save up your money so you can buy the guns that they were able to buy with their kills and their win bonuses and all of that stuff. Because buying shitty low-level SMGs when they all bought rifles... Or something, you know, which there is such thing as an SMG rush round, too. I wouldn't get into that too much until you know what you're doing. But save rounds are crucial. And the biggest thing about saving is when your team decides to save, like, so you're obviously outmatched weapon-wise. You've lost a couple rounds in a row. Your guys have depleted income. And, like, maybe you have a little more money than the rest of your team. And they say it's a save round. And you're like, well, I can buy. Don't buy. Don't buy. Don't be that asshole. Because when you buy, what happens is the next round they're all going to buy, and then you're going to be the only one who doesn't have a good gun. And it's just putting your team at a disadvantage. You have to just go with the flow. So if everybody is agreeing that it's going to be a save round, and even if you feel differently or you have more money, you need to just go with your team and do what they're doing and run the play. Just run the play. go with the pistol. And basically a pistol round, you're not even most of the time like, yes, you want to win. And obviously that is going to be your goal every single round. But in a pistol round, the other goal is to kill as many of them as humanly possible with the idea of you're probably going to lose the round, but you're trying to take income away from them by making them drop guns. So as many people as you can kill, and that's why Peter's telling you to take flashbangs with you, especially in pistol rounds, is because if you can go one-to-one and then you die, that's a huge win for you when you're saving and that guy's got a $3,000 gun in his hand.
You lost $200.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in a pistol round, if you buy one flashbang, it's not like you paid for your fucking pistols. So.
Exactly. And then that guy, like I said, he's lost whatever he has. If he has an op, he lost 40-something hundred.
Well, I mean, if you full buy, even with a cheap-ass weapon, like, you're still upwards of $3,000.
Yeah.
Like, with full body armor, some grenades, and an SMG, that's still about $3,000.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot of money. And when your team is agreeing to save, it is absolutely crucial that you just run with the team. No. So many people are like, we're going to save this round. Everybody's like, okay. And then you see, like, you know, maybe two people buy SMGs, and you're just like, what the hell
that's
are you doing?
That's not saving.
Like, we need to discuss what save means. That means we're don't just buy. Going pistols. Mm-hmm. We're not buying anything. Like, yes, you can buy a grenade or two or something if you have that extra income. Go ahead and get a couple extra things that are small, you know.
Maybe, we can
maybe
just
even buy chest armor so you can take a couple bullets and increase your chance of maybe getting to drop somebody. I like to buy, when I'm doing a pistol round, I like to buy the P250 because it's $350, and it's way better against body armor for headshots. So
yeah,
if your other team is full bought up, then I will buy a pistol, but I'll buy a very inexpensive pistol that increases my odds of getting a kill. Again, not purchasing large weapons, just, you know, little things to give me a little bit more of an edge, but still abiding by the save round. It's important. It's extremely important.
Well, and that almost comes back to the whole going one for one and getting them to waste it. Because if you spend $350, and yes, you lose it, but if you can get some, like, it's almost like not necessarily, yes, you're spending money, but you're forcing them to spend even more.
Yeah.
If you can go greater than one, one-to-one,
that's
then
a huge
you're
win.
You're doing really good. Even if you don't even kill the second person, even if you put damage on that person, mm-hmm. another person kills that guy, that's solid. And actually, Pistol Pack and Preacher Pete was supposed to bring that up, but you did both together. But that's fine.
I totally
you do you, John.
I
you do.
I didn't see
you do you, Joe Dango.
Pistol Pack and Preacher Pete. I like that though. Damn it, I ruined
right,
it.
Right
up
your left.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Right.
My right. Yeah. That's my right. Right.
Sorry.
Right.
My left.
Correct. Well, I put a GIF in the chat for those that want to have a laugh at the expense of this really terrible player.
Dude, I don't even know if I want to say he's really terrible. Just shit happens sometimes, man. I can't tell you how many times I've done stupid shit. Or, like, clip the corner of something I didn't think I was going to clip, and the grenade comes flying back, and I'm like, oh, sweet mother of Christ! And, like, start running. I'm just like, no!
It's worse when there's someone in front of you, and then you throw it, and it hits the corner, and goes right in front of that person, and flashes them. You're like, I'm so sorry, bro!
I can't tell you how many times I've hucked a grenade, and then been like, that's my guy. And they're just like, what the hell was that? And I'm like, sorry!
I've straight killed teammates with grenades before because I'm just like throw it, miss, drops down, kills that person. I'm like, I am so sorry.
Somebody picked up my grenade and threw it with my name. It was totally an accident. That guy's a dick.
Mike in the chat called you a loser.
Oh,
he says you like to micromanage your Counter-Strike team.
I think at the end of the day, I think what you're getting at
I like
with this
to be
gift,
successful
though.
At high level competitive play, Mike. Something you would know nothing about with your shitty console play.
I think at
back
the end of the day,
a console hater.
I just gotta.
Just let the man speak.
No, I mean, when you need to point out that John's a console hater, he's.
I mean, that's. I guess that's true. But I am. I don't really play consoles. I don't like hate them. I just
like he does.
He actively hates them.
I wouldn't say actively. I don't go to like.
You bring it up every time we talk about.
I don't like burn consoles in effigy outside my house off the flagpole. Like, check out this PS4 replica I made that I torched.
Did you print it with a 3D printer that you?
That so would be very small.
Peter, if we can't say the name anymore, can I get like a DT?
A DT?
Yeah. Because we can't say his name because you don't like him getting airtime.
Oh.
Can I say like
why
a DT?
Do we need to bring
just
him
listen,
up?
Just listen. John's like the DT against consoles.
I suppose so.
He is, though. He wants to build a wall around him.
Yeah,
but the console players are going to pay for it.
I just don't like giving that notoriety.
any, like, whatsoever. Even in fucking acronyms.
They're initialisms. Acronyms are
words. I mean, just, I didn't go into politics, but
they are.
If we didn't talk about him all the fucking time, then he probably wouldn't even have a chance of winning this.
We're all quiet and paying attention to the chat now.
Okay, well, that is all we have for Counter-Strike. There are more things that we could talk about, but we don't want to talk about Counter-Strike forever.
Morale.
It's not Rocket League.
No, that's one. We've said this before, and we're going to say it again, that Morale has the best tutorial videos for Counter-Strike.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Who?
Period.
I didn't.
War Owl.
Oh, okay.
One word. He's an amazing Counter-Strike player. He's not pro, but I mean he's up there in the global elites. So he's a really good player. But him starting out late in the game and being kind of a newbie himself when he started gives him a very fresh perspective on how to explain mechanics.
I was going to say one of my favorite things to watch of his isn't always just his tutorial. It's where he lets listeners send in videos of their gameplay, and then he critiques it for them. And he's kind about it, and at the same time, he'll tell you like what doesn't make sense.
He'll call you
like,
a noob.
Yeah, well, he'd just be like, you did this, you had this whole fight, you know, all this stuff was good, except you had 3 grenades on you and you didn't throw any. That's one of my biggest pet peeves, is to watch somebody that has grenades, and I'm like, throw the grenade, give yourself the upper hand, throw the grenade! And they don't throw the grenade, you know, and they just go for a head-to-head fight.
Some people buy like 3 grenades and never throw
them. Yeah, yeah. And it's all about leveraging what you purchase. Like, it's very important to use things you pay for.
Let's not say there are not other YouTubers that do a really good job with certain things. There are a lot of really good YouTubers that will show you all of the grenade throws, trick grenade throws that they know for a map. Like, you could find a 15-minute video on all of the grenade throws for Dust 2, flashbangs, and smokes.
Yeah.
So,
and I do those, and I'm not real picky about who does those, because grenades are grenades, and as long as you know the throws and they show you how to do it, it's not a problem. And there's grenade throws for every map, and I would watch a couple different videos, because some people know grenade throws. Like, there's, when I rewatched a different video for Mirage, the second guy I watched had so many more smokes that he showed, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I didn't even know you could smoke that from there, you know? And then it's
some of
so
them,
good.
Not all of them are practical. Let's say, no,
but some of them are exceptional. Like,
yeah, some
you
of
know,
them are
like,
exceptional. Some of them are exceptional and practical, and those are the ones that you want to focus on. Some of the, if you can't do them like fluidly, then you probably shouldn't be doing them in a competitive game.
Yeah, because time is definitely...
Practice the ones that are easier and get really good at those, and then evolve.
I was going to say, practice the crucial ones, and then the more tricky ones that are situational, those ones you can work on over
time.
Some
grenade throws are really awesome, but they land in a spot that doesn't matter as much. Mm-hmm. Like, you could smoke off counter-terrorist spawn from B-site on Dust 2. For anybody that's played that, that might sound clear. But in on A-site, there's a throw off of a building from A-long that'll smoke off CT from the other side, which is far more practical because you have to pass in front of that
way more often. No, there are. But... grenades, man. Grenades, grenades, grenades. The better you get with them, the better you'll do.
This is true.
I mean, even a frag grenade that's only going to damage somebody gives you the edge in a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, if you know you're not going to kill
them... can stop an entire push in a narrow spot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You throw a grenade and everybody turns around and runs. Gives your team time to rotate or flank or whatever.
Yeah.
It's because especially they
a
might
smoke
think
grenade
more
just
grenades
in a corridor.
Coming. They might think more grenades are coming, especially if there's more than one person there. Even if there is one person there, you just hurl grenades in there. For
but, I mean, even throw a smoke, and now they have to push the smoke, and you're going to see them come out of the smoke first.
Well, more
so they wait for it to come, or they change their direction or anything. Like, all of that stuff is just leveraging what you've got.
I was going to say, more times than not, if you throw a smoke in a hallway, I mean, it's rare that they'll decide to rush the hallway. They'll usually force them to
go out of
the direction.
I was going to say, when you rush smoke, often it's to your detriment.
Yeah.
Like, you pay for it. Now, sometimes if you know there's only one or two people left and you have a full team, then you just bum rush it because you're like, a couple of us are probably going to go down.
But
sometimes everybody.
You're all going to die.
I was going to say, I've had people rush smoke on B site. I'm a counter terrorist B site on Dust 2, and they rush smoke in that hallway, and I have like an AUG, and I'm just like headshotting people because they're all at the same level.
I wish
you're
there
just
were
dropping,
statistics
like,
on this
three,
stuff.
Three, 4 people. Yeah.
Like, you know, how many people, like, if they could somehow empirically show us how many people die in those attempts, like a percentage of life to death. But I'd imagine that it's tipped more towards dying than living.
I would say so.
Yeah, well, that's all we have for Counter-Strike Noob Tips. if you want to know anything more about Counter-Strike, you can always send us on Twitter or something like
that.
Yeah,
or just send us an invite or say, play.
It will be the greatest.
It will be the greatest.
I'm
a little rusty, but I'll play. Every time I pick it up, I'm better than I think I'm going to be, so that's always nice.
John, if they wanted to contact us about Counter-Strike, where would they find us?
Yeah.
On Steam.
Trying to transition into a smooth closer here, but you're just so fucking resistant.
He answered your question.
He sort of.
Where? On here.
Well, they could start by joining our Steam group.
They could. That's true.
Join
then they
us.
Could find, they could find everybody's Steam names from there.
Yes.
Oh, is that public?
Because I'm about to be the principal.
Huh?
Is that public? I didn't
know. Yeah.
I really want to be the principal. I'm
then
about
do
to
it. It. Don't talk about it.
I'll,
be about it.
I'll change my name to the dean.
Yeah.
Mike says he hates grenade throws in games. You can't throw them that far in real life.
I think.
I feel like I can huck a grenade pretty fucking far, Mike. Maybe not you with your little sissy arm. Since we're feuding right now, I'm going to continue to feud with you.
I think one of the best things about our best noob pro tip about the game.
Actually, my shoulders
are really bad. Is the gift that Peter showed.
Yeah, the gift's pretty accurate.
The reason why is because that's a part of the fun.
Yeah.
The game is fun to play.
It is.
At the end of the day, I think that's the most important thing.
Don't take it too seriously. That is a very good point, Josh. Even if you are playing competitively.
That's true, because you didn't mention fun this whole time.
Yeah. We didn't. But it isn't.
I was like, oh, shit, this is serious. Fuck.
Fun is secondary to John and myself. We like to win.
I like to win, but at the same time, I don't let losing frustrate me. On occasion, it does, but for the most part, even when I'm losing, I can still continue to play because I'm just like, next round, I'm going to fuck them up. And then if I don't, I'm just like, next round, I'm going to fuck them up. Just got to keep
that
mindset.
That's also a good point. There's always the next round.
Yeah. I mean, in Rocket League, Jared, our buddy, gave us a saying. He's like, I don't get mad at Rocket League because it's a 5-minute round that I'm going to forget about in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Unless you save that replay.
Yeah, well, that's foolishness. Noob tip number one, don't save replays of you sucking.
Thanks, right. Jingoist.
No problem from Jadango.
So is that everything we got?
I think so, sir.
We're ready
Thank
to
you,
leave.
Sir. Yeah.
Where can they find us, Adam?
They can find us on Facebook at Wait4Players, of course on Twitter as well. And you can find everything on our website at waiting4players.net.
Absolutely. That's where you can chat with us live if you're listening to us live every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific.
Yep, just add /live to that URL, and it'll take you to that oh-so-glorious place.
We are in daylight time now, so you could say PDT.
Well, I do on all the posts, but seems weird to be like, we're 8 p.m. PDT.
Yeah, just
Pacific
time.
Works.
Yeah, we can just say UTC.
negative.
That's just because we want less listeners.
Yeah. We'll just do Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, we're -8 GMT.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see you guys next week.
If they're not too confused.
Goodbye.
Have a good week.